Blog Talk Radio. Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another fantastic episode of Freaks and Geeks. I am your host, April, and if you're joining us tonight for the first time, which probably a lot of you are, given the subject, can't blame you there. If you are, go ahead and head over to our Facebook page, smash that like button, let us know that you're here. We love to get feedback about the show, and we love to talk to people, as long as you aren't going to send us pictures of your genitalia. Not that we've gotten any, but I'm waiting for that. We did get our first stalker, though. We did.
Oh, great.
We got our first stalker. So now, you know, the time is ticking. It's going to happen sooner rather than later. And tonight we're talking about dicks to begin with. Spectral dicks, but dicks nonetheless. So I just assume it's going
to
put people in the mood.
I don't want to be checking messages with dick pics. Like,
yeah, no thanks.
Please don't send dick pics.
Just.
I mean, unless they're, like, it's, like, really nice.
They're
like,
just
really
a thing.
Nice.
Male genitalia,
I mean,
are gross looking.
I don't share the sentiment, but, you know, like, you gotta have, like, a spectacular situation going on. Sorry, babe. Women, feel free to send pictures of your boobs, I guess. Does that even it out? Does that even the score? Do you feel better?
I guess. I don't want to see anybody's.
No, just
I don't want to see anybody's things.
Just how about pictures of, like, cool spooky houses and, like, cool rocks you found. And,
what about ghost boobs?
I mean, I guess it's for science.
Okay.
You're stuck on the genitalia.
I am stuck on genitalia. Well, again, given our subject matter tonight, I don't know how you could expect me not to be. I'm a little worked up, I gotta tell you.
It's time to be professional.
Oh, shit. Okay,
I mean,
fuck.
Is that not your regular state of affairs?
Oh, my God. Okay. Yeah, right, I went a little off the rails. Okay, I went a little off the rails. All right, here we go. I am your host, April. Smash the like button. Come on over and hang out with our little tribe we got going on over at Freaks and Geeks. We have a really great community that we've built. And you don't have to talk about genitalia. I don't think we've ever actually talked about genitalia. That's just me being
cool.
No.
That'll be the last time.
No.
Yeah. Anyway.
Betty and Bernie. Betty and Bernie Hill.
Well, that was,
I was watching that last
fabricated
night.
Myth.
I watched it last night. I watched it. I posted about it. I was watching it. It was all about Betty and Barney Hill.
Well, I mean, the episode can finally continue because we've had our obligatory Betty and Barney Hill plug.
I mean, butt plug. Butt plug.
Oh, my God. I didn't do anything.
It's me tonight. It's me.
Yeah, she's uncensored and... It's like a Comedy Central special up in here.
It's because I got my mind blown at work today. I had my mind blown. This little kid, he's not little. He's actually much bigger than I am. He's like probably three times my size. He's huge. Not fat, just like super tall. Like could graze doorways with his head. Anyway, so this kid... is asked, you know, we're all like shooting the shit because we're waiting for this like distinguished visitor to come through, and he asked me if I believe in the lunar landing in
the 1950s. Oh, this is going to be good.
Oh, okay.
Well, so if he's at that point, is he also a flat earther and believes in not vaccinating his children?
No.
Let me guess. It wasn't real because you couldn't see any stars.
Well, he more so likes to enjoy, he enjoys the theory. He enjoys having the conversation. I don't think he actually believes it. But
no, he believes in the actual reason of having controversial opinions, and that's to improve your debate skills.
Yeah. So I think that's really where he was coming from.
Or just to annoy the fuck out of people. He could be one of those too.
Well, it was kind of a round robin. We were all saying some crazy ass shit. So he goes, I don't think that, I think the lunar landing was faked. And I was like, I think you're crazy. Like, the lunar landing wasn't faked. What are you talking about? And he was like, Neil Armstrong. And I was like, yeah, what does that have to do with anything? And he was like, Neil A. His initial is A. Neil
A.
And I was like,
from? Okay.
Yeah, I was like, what?
I got the contact.
I was like, yeah, what the fuck are you talking about? And he's like, it's literally alien. His name is Alien backwards. I was like, oh, shit, it's like Evian, how it's naive. It's naive backwards. What the fuck? Shit.
Taco Cat is also Taco Cat.
It's a palindrome, yeah.
Yeah, race car is also race cars. I mean, we can go on all day. I'm sure his name is an anagram for something as well.
Palindrome?
Oh, I'm sure.
No, an anagram. You know what an anagram is?
No.
When you take the letters and you rearrange them and it makes... That's how people were saying that... That was how some people were saying that Lewis Carroll was Jack the Ripper, because in like a book that Lewis Carroll wrote said like they, and it was an anagram. They said it was an anagram for... that said he killed... He was Jack the Ripper.
Yeah, like Tom Morvolo Riddle is Lord Voldemort.
Actually, it says, I am Lord Voldemort.
Well, whatever.
Just
nerd
saying.
Alert.
We haven't even gotten through the intros. We're going to go through the entire 2 hours of this show and not finish.
Neil A. Alien.
I'm going to make you Neil A. if you don't continue on with the story.
You might have to. We are talking about some sexy ghosts. So
well,
that
you know
is...
what? Those people don't get famous until they go on their knees. So,
hey, here we are.
Yes, in deep holy prayer.
We're on the cusp, babe. Anyway, so I am also joined by my sexy, sensual partners, Carrie.
Hello, hello.
Do it again, sexier.
Hello, hello.
Oh, man. I can just picture Carrie's face just like...
Okay.
I definitely waved one hand as if I were the monster from Young Frankenstein. So just add that to it.
Frankenstein.
That was great.
Well, Stacy.
Hey guys.
Nope.
Oh my god.
Gotta do it sexy.
Oh, God. hello, guys.
Oh, shit. Little minx. Okay. Oh, Chris is just staring at me. He's so ready for this. He's trained for this his whole life. Here we are. And Christopher.
Nothing.
Well, I mean, yeah, I just should be silent, you know. But, you know, while I was doing research for this, I had a half chub the entire time.
No, you have to pour a little bit more caramel on that, because that was not enough. I mean, you don't have to say that exact statement, because I feel like once is too many times.
Can't wait to get in the sheets tonight.
the script sheets.
Yeah, the script sheets. The
script it all off.
We're probably not getting through this entire thing at the rate this is going. well, there'll be plenty of discussion. There'll be plenty of discussion throughout with some of the stories.
This is all your fault.
I know, right?
Yeah, some of these stories are intriguing,
to say the least.
All right, well, let's fucking get into it. Well, today we are going to take a trip down a dark, slippery hole. We're going to be yeah, it said sexy, but I made it say slippery. it's just not dirty enough for me. We are going to be discussing sexy ghosts, or more appropriately, risque encounters with spirits, which is way more common than you actually might realize. To start things off, we are going to need to understand what spectrophilia actually is.
And to everybody, this is April sober.
Good Lord.
God help us.
I'm going to have to mute you.
Can I just... Is that appropriate?
Oh, my. Okay, Carrie, you're going to need to get on with it before she starts trying to shove the mic into her mouth.
Jesus.
Oh, God.
Okay. Well, spectrophilia is defined as a fetish or phenomenon, depending on how the interaction takes place, in which a person is attracted, aroused, etc., to spirits or ghosts. This could include fantasizing sexual scenarios that involve themselves and spirits, as well as the actual activity. Common instances of spectrophilia include the incubus and the succubus. The succubus is a demon or evil spirit that takes the form of an attractive woman with the intention of becoming impregnated by the men they seduce. On the flip side of that, an incubus is the male variation that looks to seduce women to impregnate them. Now, spectrophilia may seem like something that is a fringe fetish that has slowly gained popularity in recent years, but it is actually something that is rooted in the folklore of many different cultures, including Arabic, Greek, Hindu, and Celtic.
I mean, we could honestly just do an entire episode on the subject of just, like, spectrophilia throughout the years, like, in the history books.
So, is Jesus the product of an incubus?
Oh, come on.
I mean, she was impregnated by the spirit.
I ain't touching that one.
That's a thing. That's what we just read. That was the definition.
I'm raising my eyebrow at you right now. Yeah, but you're saying a demon. I mean,
no, I don't think it's a demon. I don't think it has to be a demon. I think it is.
I think it could just be a spirit of some kind. But in generalities, it's usually done in a nefarious way, but that doesn't mean that it always has to be done as such.
Let's get it on.
I mean, it would be, it's something that we could look into further, but we have to continue.
My eyebrow has just raised off my head.
Just floating towards the ceiling.
It is.
I'm on your side. I'm trying to move the conversation along so we get away from is Jesus the product of an incubus?
Banter, sir.
I didn't think that's where you were going to go with it.
I love how you turned it around on him. That was great.
He did say to banter.
Well, I mean,
he did.
Quality content that I can't write.
Okay. All right.
So, yeah, let's move on. Okay. So now that we've gone over what spectrophilia is, let's get into some examples of it. First, we start with some famous people who have claimed to have had encounters with spirits. One that may be a surprise to people is singer Kesha, TikTok. In 2012, she revealed in interviews with Ryan Seacrest and Conan O'Brien that she had a, quote, sexy time with a spirit in her house that she lived in. She actually wrote a song called Supernatural that appeared on her album Warrior. The song described a sexual encounter with a spirit and is based on her own experience of living in a flop house that had a weird energy within it that would keep her up at night. Over time, that spirit turned into a dark sexual spirit. Kesha claimed she was scared of the entity, but that was part of the fun of it.
No.
Fuck.
It was very confusing reading and like watching the interviews and stuff like that with Kesha, because she did say she went to the Bone Zone, but then she said
what?
She didn't like, she didn't have like sex with him or with the spirit. So I was like, I'm confused on what you did.
I have to see interviews because I just want to see Conan O'Brien's face.
He was quite perplexed.
I bet his eyebrow was raised.
But I mean, it's kind of like once you sort of start digging into it, you just find you will go into a hole of
dark slippery hole.
Yeah, a dark slippery hole of just like people who like share their experiences, and it's far reaching.
Spider webs. What? Spider webs of jazzum.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah. Ectoplasm, I think, is what we call it.
Oh God.
Call back to last podcast and left.
I think Carrie's just left.
Yeah.
Carrie's checked out already.
Gone.
All right, well, let's continue on our journey of going on with the famous people. So next up on the list is someone that might be a bit more well-known to a lot of people, and that would be the great Dan Aykroyd. He's a great man.
He's a great man.
He's awesome.
His interest and passion for the paranormal are well-known by most. He grew up in a house that he still resides in, actually, to this day, that his great-grandfather conducted seances in. So, obviously, there's a buttload of paranormal activity occurring within that house, and there has been for generations at this point. And it is even said that when Mr. Aykroyd was born, he was visited by his deceased great-grandparents, who appeared to come and nod and approve of the newborn baby.
Huh.
Growing up, he had a multitude of different experiences, and as he has gotten older, his experiences have seemed to be centered around people he knew in life and that were important to him. I think one of the examples that he gave was Jim Belushi, who, of course, Blues Brothers fame. Those two were really close, and he has often said that he feels his energy around him, like on multiple occasions. With all that said, Mr. Aykroyd's sensual experience with a spirit occurred at a different residence than the one he currently lives in. He lived at a home that once belonged to Mama Cass, and it was in this house that that he had a spirit that would climb into bed with him. And Mr. Aykroyd stated that he would cuddle with what he thought was a male spirit and thought he would, quote, roll over and snuggle up next to it. As you can guess, these experiences are what was kind of behind the famous scene from Ghostbusters where, if you don't know, Ray is in bed and we'll say has a climactic interaction with a ghost. So, another fun fact about Mr. Dan Aykroyd is he is actually the only famous man to come out and state that he has had a somewhat sensual encounter with a spirit.
Cool.
The only man.
Oh,
the rest of them have been female.
Only man.
I understand.
Or just they don't want to say.
But I mean, if you listen to Dan Aykroyd talk about like the paranormal, whether that be spirits or UFOs, I think UFOs is more, or aliens is more like his bread and butter, what he's into. But I mean, the man is obviously, he knows his shit, and he's been in the field for God knows how long. But I mean, he's been surrounded by it for since his whole life.
Well, let's keep going with those A-list stars. We are going to talk about Miss Lucy Liu. She is a bit different in that she describes a full-on sexual experience with a ghost. She says that it was sheer bliss. I felt everything. I climaxed, and then he floated away. Something came down to touch me, and now it watches over me. Also, with her, there's Natasha Blasek, who starred in Paranormal Activity 2. She claims to have had two separate sexual encounters with the same spirit. She says, I was lying in bed, and then I felt something enter the room, and I couldn't see anybody. I could feel that someone was touching me, and the hands were pushing me up against the wall. Or pushing me against my will, and I could feel the weight of the body on top of me. I could feel the pressure, the energy, the warmth pushing in different directions. I really enjoyed it. After the first experience, a month later, the same entity came back for a little bit more.
That be, see,
wow.
I read that one, Like, listening to that one, that sounds like ghost rape.
Yeah, it
does. That actually is, so that actually does happen. So I've actually had cases that I've worked on where there has been some sexual assault on the part of the paranormal, which sounds crazy. I know, for people that are tuning in, they're like, what the hell is she going on about? You know, it is very possible for something to manifest physically. If something can manifest physically and you think that it can push you, why the hell don't you think that it could do something else to you?
Right.
Just because it seems like there's some weird barrier there, there isn't. It's still the physical plane. So however that spirit wants to manifest is however they're going to manifest. And if they were a pervert in life, then they're probably going to be a pervert in death. I mean,
I only have enough energy to conjure up something small, so I shall make it a penis.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. So, and it can be very traumatic. Like the woman that the very last case I worked on was actually a case of spectral rape, and it was, she was pretty traumatized.
I mean, I would think that it would be more traumatizing than actually, like, the actual living version. I don't know how else to describe it.
I don't know about more traumatizing
because
I
you can't
it's very
see.
Confusing.
You can't. You don't know what's going on. You just know the sensations that you're feeling.
It's very.
You have nothing to fight against.
I would say it's much more confusing because you don't really understand that it's happening to you until it's happening to you. And then even when it's happening to you, like, you still can't wrap your mind around what's happening.
Right.
I mean,
just like you would in a regular rape.
You can cut the dick off of a person. You can't cut it off of a ghost.
Yeah.
This is true.
Just cut it off and throw it
in
the sock drawer.
Those facts, those hard facts.
I'm glad she came back for ghost dick.
Well, I'm always here to talk about stabbing something, cutting something.
Well, we'll talk about stabbing genitalia a little bit later.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Lord.
Well, since we've delved into the world of the famous, let's get into fun stories of ghostly indecency. First, we'll go to Newstead Abbey in jolly old England with the story of the marriage bed monk. It's said that the monks that resided there for over 400 years were evicted by Henry VIII. Due to this transgression, the monks were said to place a curse upon the building. And from that point on, monks could be seen traversing the halls of the abbey. Unfortunately, the monks were not so benign. They were seen as harbingers of a person's doom, appearing beside the bed of sick people who would then die shortly thereafter.
Seems to happen a lot.
Yeah. Well, now you might be asking yourselves, what do these monks have to do with being sexy? I know that's not the first thing I think of whenever I think of monks. Well, death beds were not the only beds that the monks could be seen beside. There are reports of newlywed couples witnessing one specific monk next to their bed during the night of their first sexual experience together. One man exclaimed that after he finished, blood began to come out of his penis. But when he went to cover up his genitals to stop the flow of the blood just disappeared. He then looked up just in time to see the visage of a monk right before the monk dissipated. Now, another couple found that they were unable to separate themselves after they finished consummating their marriage, which can be problematic, I would think.
We're going to make sure you get pregnant.
Yeah, right? I know. Oh, my God. They saw the monk, the same monk, leave in their room, who then disappeared. Once he was gone, they were able to separate themselves.
I got to say, don't know if I'd ever stay there.
I don't think I would.
A monk's just going to pop up while I'm trying to...
Oh, we would stay there, and we would be fucking like rabbits all over the place.
Well, I guess if it's only newlyweds, I guess we wouldn't have anything to worry about.
Oh. Well, how new does he consider new? I mean, maybe...
I mean, presumably this is A, back in a quote-unquote more proper time where they didn't have relations until they were married. So.
Right. Or if they're staying there, they're Catholic, and they probably didn't have relations before they were married.
I will say one thing that I didn't put in here is that the monks were actually said to all be part of a secret brotherhood within the abbey. So who knows what they were getting down to?
I just want to jump in on the not having sex before you were married then. Henry VIII just alone had so many bastards.
But he's also a king.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, Henry VIII was definitely not the model of Catholicism.
And isn't he the one who just killed all of his wives whenever they bored him or some of that?
No, he killed his wives because he couldn't get divorced because of the Catholic Church. So he just killed them instead.
He only killed two of them, and he split from the Catholic Church so that he could divorce his first wife and marry the second, Anne Boleyn, who he did have put to death. But he only killed two of them.
Sounds like a great guy.
He used the Catholic argument to get out of the first marriage. So then when he was in the second marriage, he was basically fucked. He couldn't go back and say, well, now I don't want to do this because of this. I mean, he couldn't use religion again. He had to kill her.
He sounds like an insatiable poonhound. And he might actually, maybe he's the one that's haunting the abbey.
Hey, you know how those counters are.
He was driven mad by syphilis, so.
Well, I mean, you stick it in enough holes, eventually you're going to catch something.
Yeah, wonder how he got that.
Just wanna.
Henry the Poonhound, is that how his official title should be?
pretty much.
Well, let's
the Poonhound.
let's finish up the story of the monks, or the singular monk. Is this there's a group of them that show up, but there appears to be like one specific monk that likes to pop up and
pervy monk.
Yeah, we'll call him perv monk.
It's a pervy monk.
So there was another couple that was they were getting undressed before they were about to, you know, get down to business. When they happened to notice the same monk appear in the corner of their room, along with noticing the monk, the couple also started to smell a quite hideous odor. And
did
on
she wash?
ooh. Get some squirts of lemon on there. So on top of those fun activities, they also started to notice a puddle that started to form in the middle of their room. And this was a puddle that was made of a white, sticky fluid that then started to bubble.
Oh.
Can't make this up.
you could.
So all this is going on, and then all of a sudden more monks start to appear in the room, one after the other, just start popping up, like, you know, till the room is
like
complete
whack-a-mole.
Yeah, just
like
the room is completely
Catholic
filled
whack-a-mole.
With monks.
Catholic whack-a-mole.
The original monk, the perv monk, as he shall be known, started to get really like upset and pissed off that all these other monks were coming in and like messing up his groove.
Hey guys, hey, I'm in here, guys, I'm in here. Hey guys, come on.
That's honestly what it feels like. He's just so angry. Like, why are you guys gonna throw off my groove? and so he's pissed off, and then he tries to leave. It's like the way they describe it, he's trying to dissipate, but he can't. So what I picture is that he's just like, he looks like he's got a massive shit, and he just can't leave. Oh man. And so after a short period of waving his arms around, getting really ticked off, he's finally able to leave the room. And then shortly after, the rest of the monks leave. And presumably the couple, you know, finally like resume their marital duties, but something tells me I don't think you would be doing sex after that.
Yeah, that's
just look at each other like, did you see that? I did see it.
And you know what happened? That monk, he pushed himself into that room. He, you know, like solidified, and then he is like, oh ho, ho, what's this? I'm going to put some of my white sticky bubbly liquid in the floor. Oh, I hope it doesn't get everywhere.
So oh my god,
he is conjuring this white liquid, and then all of a sudden all these other people start coming in. They're like, hey Fred, hey, what are you
hey
up
guy
to? What are you doing? What's that over there? What's going on? Oh, you guys ruined everything.
Fred the pervy spirit does seem like the one that would have to eat the ookie cookie.
Ew. Oh my god, gross. Oh, Christopher.
Well, I mean, what else do monks have to do?
Pray?
Pray?
I mean, eventually, you gotta fill the void with something. Look at these dirty
God.
Parchments I found.
Why was there a puddle?
Oh my god.
Well, that's all I could...
I'm going to hell for being a part of this show. I know it.
Well, you'll be in good company.
Well, I mean, just say like 50.
I know, at least I won't be alone.
Was it like, is it Hail Marys that you have to say to repent?
Yeah.
So just like 50 of those, you'll be fine.
Yeah. You
no, there's a lot of
is there like a is there
like
a conversion chart? So like
no,
this equals this many Hail Marys?
No, but there are things like indulgences and stuff. So if I say prayers at certain times, I get like granted indulgences. So like forgiveness.
I feel like that gets abused. Or it got abused. By
oh, it did. That's what that whole Martin Luther thing was about.
Yeah.
Are we talking about like Protestant Martin Luther?
Yeah, Carrie, there's kind of like a thing that goes along with that.
I mean, I'm kind of lost like you are, April. So.
I mean, I'm not lost. I'm not lost at all.
Me neither.
Martin
I was
Luther,
just trying, I was trying to make you feel better.
Martin Luther nailed his, was what was it called? Theses?
Uh-huh. 95 theses.
His thesis?
His what?
95 theses.
Complaints. It's a
list. Song?
It's,
no, 99. Yes, it's a German song.
I mean,
Hitler's favorite.
How much fiber was he eating that he was able to nail it to the door?
I'm surprised.
That was the nail. That was what the nail was made out of.
He actually. He actually had to get a servant to come and, like, pull it out. So
oh, Lord.
No, he nailed his thesis. I thought it was theses. Anyway, he nailed it to the church door.
Thesis.
With his criticism of the church.
That's just stuff you don't get nowadays. People don't nail their poop to the doors anymore. Unless they're crazy.
I mean, I used to work an overnight shift at Wawa, and let me tell you, you underestimate how little people change.
I mean, there's a reason I don't like going to Wawa at nighttime.
I used to go to Wawa in the middle of the night all the time.
Well, I mean, I would go if when I was on night shift, but I wasn't comfortable. I was on edge the entire time.
Really?
I was waiting to get... beat
all
up
hours.
Or something. I'm a small white
hours.
Boy walking into a predominantly, let's say, rough neighborhood.
But the sandwiches are delicious.
They are delicious.
Yeah, they really
that
are.
That doesn't mean I wasn't going to get my ass kicked for my sandwich.
They are
way
no,
better than
listen,
cheap.
You are missing out because, thanks to my inn at Wawa, they're now having Sundays.
Oh,
that is
shit,
true.
Really?
That is true. We don't get Wawa's down here.
We don't have Wawa's.
Hey,
so
you know,
upset.
They breed,
though, which is like...
You know the Apex. Wawa's that was on J. Clyde?
Mm-hmm.
April, Chris, they redid the inside of that one, and they're building another one over on Harpersville. down by where the where Harpersville meets Jefferson, they're putting a Wawa's over there too.
Oh,
God,
so there's
I miss
all kinds of Wawa going on up here.
We have this thing called Bucky's here, which
is
like if you took all the Wawa's in existence and then you slammed them all together into one place, that would be Bucky's.
So Bucky's is a tourist attraction. That's
it's
how
like
big
a,
it is.
It's as big as a Walmart.
Like a Stucky's. Bucky's is like a Stucky's.
It is like a Stucky's, but bigger. Much bigger.
Yeah. When people come
it's
to visit,
like
they have to
the
go.
The Costco of Stucky's.
Yes, exactly.
Does every giant-ass gas station just have to end with an E?
Yes, it does.
I think so.
It's, Listen, it's two brothers.
Stucky
it's two brothers.
Stucky and
Bucky. They got into an argument, and they split up, and just like Adidas and Puma, they each started their own brands.
Well, the argument was over Martin Luther tabbing his thesis or his theses to the fucking door.
It would have all been okay if everybody just goes to Sheetz instead. Just go to Sheetz.
It's too close to shit.
Okay. Okay.
Way off the rails.
Let's get back on. So let's stick to England, just like that white liquid substance.
God.
We'll stick to it for our next sale. The Naked Five Who Refused to Die. That sounds like a movie that needs to be made. Which,
it's probably a porn.
Probably.
Maybe. This story takes place in Trafalgar Square in London in December 1990.
Wait, what'd you call it?
Trafalgar.
Trafalgar.
Ooh,
that's
accent.
Trafalgar Square.
Trafalgar?
Yeah.
Carrie?
Gotta watch where they are.
Yeah, Trafalgar's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Trafalgar.
Wow,
I don't,
Chris.
I don't trust you.
I'm about to take this mic out and drop it.
I don't trust you.
Chris,
I trust Carrie.
You just got Chris. You just got a gold star, dude.
Yay!
Gold star.
Trafalgar. Yes.
Yes.
Square in London.
Trafalgar.
In December 1990, a woman named Margaret Denning was waiting for her husband, for her boyfriend, in Trafalgar Square.
I'm gonna put. I think you need to say. You need to include Trafalgar Square into every sentence until you get it right.
Trafalgar, when she happened to notice something in the distance, it was the image of five well-hung, naked men having a swinging time, if you know what I mean.
Helicopter
dick. I was
going
to say, because as you try to pronounce Trafalgar, it sounds like you have a cock in your mouth. So very appropriate.
Trafalgar. Just
you people
doing
are a bad
my best
influence.
To be entertaining.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Oh man.
Unfortunately,
Chris,
for Margaret,
she's putting you to shame.
I am putting it out.
She's in a mood.
Putting it up, putting it out, sticking it in tonight.
Yep.
Wow.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, so they were all having just a swinging merry time. Unfortunately for Margaret, it seemed like the men noticed her. Go fucking figure. They always do. The men started to make their way toward Margaret, quickly surrounding her, jumping around and hollering and waving their girthy genitals at her.
Oh, goodness.
Just swinging them around.
Margaret was not in the mood for games, and so she swatted at them. And she said, "Get those dicks away from me." No, she didn't. That didn't happen.
I mean, she probably did.
Yeah, right?
That didn't happen. Okay. So she grabbed a comb from her purse and started to stab at the men's groins. Carrie's relative.
Get out of here. Get.
You get that dick out of here.
Nobody wants that.
I'm not saying I was Margaret in a past life, but I might have been.
Actually, there's also something about some past lives later on in this episode, too.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, there is.
She was unable to hit anything. Those big swinging dicks, those colossal cocks.
Oh my God. She missed
all of them. Her boyfriend finally arrived and called her name. Margaret looked at her boyfriend and then look back to see that the men and those massive cocks had vanished without a trace.
So imagine being Peggy's boyfriend here, and you're rolling up, right?
Margaret.
She's standing there waiting for you.
Peggy's a nickname for Margaret.
I'm going to call her
Peggy
because I think it's
funny. Go ahead and call her Peggy. Peggy sounds like a loose woman.
Are you trying to say because she was about to get pegged?
No, Peggy is a nickname for Margaret.
I know, but I'm wondering if that's why she chose to go that route.
Is it a nickname for Margaret?
Yeah.
How the fuck did that happen?
I don't know. But anyway.
That's a whole other conversation.
It's the same way that...
We can do a whole episode on weird nicknames.
It's the same way that Dick is a nickname for Richard.
Okay, yeah.
Right.
Let's talk about dicks. Speaking of dicks.
So Peggy, wonder if her boyfriend's name was Dick. Wouldn't that be funny? Anyways, so her boyfriend comes up. Imagine you are this poor boyfriend and you see your girl standing there stabbing at the air, yelling about big dicks.
Are you okay,
and
honey?
You call her name and she turns around and looks at you and she's all like feverish and wide-eyed because she's had all these, you know, balls flinging in her face and you know what I mean? Like, what are you thinking when you're the boyfriend rolling up on this?
We need to get you to a psych ward.
Yeah, pronto. Come on, Peggy.
Or maybe
I have a new jacket for you.
Maybe he's insecure because now that she's seen what men can have, he feels that he just can't provide.
Yeah, he realizes that his name is just that, a name.
And he is constantly searching Amazon for a Swedish-made penis pump.
And this is the best one to use, Christopher?
I don't know. It's the one from Austin Powers.
Oh.
He used it, so I guess so. Although nowadays they just try to push bills on you.
Sweden, remember, he said that wasn't his.
Was it Sweden and Norway kind of looked phallic?
Yeah, and Finland, really. Just all, it's just this.
It's a dong and balls.
God.
See what you've done? This is all your fault.
I told this story today, too. One of the guys that I was stationed with in Fort Myer in near D.C., he had the unfortunate circumstance of having elephantitis on one of his balls. Not the other, but just one. And it was as big as a peach. And I got to see it.
Oh, my God. He showed you it?
Yeah, he showed everyone.
I mean, if it's that big, I don't think you can go around not showing people.
No, it was in the barracks, but he showed everyone. He would ask first. He'd be like, "Do you want to see my?
Do you want to see my balls?
Do you want to see my grapefruit nut?" And I'd be
"Oh
like,
my god,
sure."
How is this other one not simply just crushed?
It looked like a ping pong ball on one side, and then it looked like a grapefruit on the other.
Ping pong's still pretty big.
I vomit.
Yeah, he has pretty big nuts.
I vomit. I call HR.
Well, I mean,
if he
asked first, been like, "Do you want to see this?" and you said, "Yes, show me," then you go to HR afterwards. That's a little fucked up.
Well, I would. I would say, "Hey, I didn't realize it was gonna be all fucked up. I thought I was gonna get to see like normal junk, not like messed up junk."
Oh no, he told you ahead of time.
I think that would be honestly known.
I have elephantitis of one of my nuts, and you'd be like, "Shut the fuck up, that's not true." And he'd be like, "Yeah, it's true. I'll show you if you want." And you're like, "Yeah, show me that shit."
But I still feel like you would notice.
Oh my god,
you
totally got off on that, right?
You would notice in his pants that something is disproportionate.
Well, there's a room full of us.
Is
huh?
that a piece in your pocket, or do you just
he
have
to pull it out at parties?
He just roll up his short pants, just let it hang out.
No, he would put it out of his pants. He would like put it out of the fly of his pants. And
oh my god! Ew!
He was like a fleshy softball.
Oh.
So Carrie,
gross.
What about Carrie? How about them Mets?
Happy to talk about him. Did you want to talk about how Dick is a nickname for Richard, or just moving on?
No, we're just moving on. We got to get away from the balls.
Okay, all right.
I'm trying to get closer to him.
Oh, Lord.
The most logical explanation for these excited entities is an event that occurred in the 15th century. There were five men who found themselves standing on the gallows very close to Trafalgar Square. These men had been found guilty of conspiring to commit murder, although they fervently denied those charges. They also pleaded with the executioner and clergyman overseeing the execution that they only needed to wait a few more minutes to receive information that would exonerate them. The crowd, unfortunately, was having none of it and forced the clergyman to continue with the execution, lest a riot ensue. The men were unfortunately hung until dead, and it wasn't shortly after they were killed that they were stripped of their clothing and was tossed into the crowd. It was at this moment that a rider appeared carrying a letter describing exactly what the men had foretold. As the clergyman read the letter aloud, the spirits of the five men stood to rise from their bodies. The clergyman begged the crowd to throw back the clothes of the deceased men, but the crowd sternly refused. Spirits began to frolic around and appearing to not even be aware of their own deaths, jumping around and hollering at the crowd.
Waving their ding-dongs.
That's the kind of spirit I aspire to be.
Just flopping like a fish.
Hashtag no shame.
Just dancing around. Twerking.
Now, what? I think the biggest thing from this that's really messed up is like how much the crowd wanted just to see not only one person die, but all five of them at once. Like, we have not really changed as a society.
Not at all.
we're still savage individuals.
I'm a savage.
I like how Tommy Lee Jones put it, is a person is smart. People are dumb, dangerous animals.
I agree. I grizzle.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so now we've looked at some sensual situations from full-on ghostly intercourse to naked ghostly shenanigans. But what about the serious side of relationships? Yeah, that's right. Relationships. Why should living people be the only ones who get to enjoy the everlasting bonds of marriage? Wait, who said we were enjoying that?
April enjoys it every day.
I'm delighting in the garden of pleasures.
You wake up every day with a smile on your face.
From my marriage. I bought Christopher roses today.
Did you really?
Yeah.
That is super sweet.
It's not the first time I've done that either.
Are you trying to insinuate something?
I'm wife goals over here. No, I just feel like if he's gonna give me roses, then I should give him roses because maybe it'll make him feel special too.
I always feel special as long as I have you with me, babe.
Oh, you guys are so awesome. I hope one day I can grow up and be just like him.
I hope one day I can grow up and be like those five dead people that dance around naked.
You're gonna have to get hung first.
Hey,
you
man,
need
just to wait
stop. Till we get
you
to the top
maybe
now.
I'm already hung.
I was gonna say you need to get hung in more than one way.
Yeah.
I don't know how I would have missed that, but okay.
Just wait till we get it's her metaphysical penis. Can you just?
Oh God,
it's my ghost penis.
Spirit dick.
My spirit dick gets engorged.
Yeah, instead of a spirit stick, she's got a spirit dick.
Is that how
dick.
You know spirits are around? It just sort of pops up like an antenna.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Spirit dick gets engorged, and I got to get in there.
Something's
now we really now we know the secret behind April's ghost hunting.
Yeah, that's why I wear that fanny pack, so I can tuck it into the fanny pack so nobody sees it.
Oh, God.
She has it, like, lifted up and, like, put into the waistband of the fanny pack. As the only man on this show, I'm the only one who understands that struggle, but any other man that's listening, I'm sure would understand.
I had to ask him when we first started dating. I had to ask him what they do. Like, what do you do when you get an erection? He's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, well, I mean, like, you're, you know, like, if you're at work, like, what do you, how do you, I've never seen a man at work with an erection. I've literally never seen it.
That means she's looking.
Are you walking around looking at people's crotches?
No, yes. But like, when you, yeah. Well, first of all, I'm like, short, yeah. So I sit crotch level. So it's kind of. I sit at crotch level, so it kind of is what it is. You know, like, I don't have so much scenery going on.
Listen, you're taller than me, and I never look at anybody.
I got the shorty chair, though, too. I got to sit in the shorty chair, so it means I'm, like, staring at people's dicks all day.
Christopher, correct me if I'm wrong, or just, you know what, don't correct me because I know I'm right.
I'll nod.
Dudes are looking at everybody's everything all the time, so why shouldn't I?
I mean, go for it. Okay.
Well, I just... I assume
the same.
I have seen a handful of, you know, hard penises in my day, and generally they make quite a ruckus. They make quite a...
They're quite obvious?
They're quite obvious. I have never in my professional career experienced a man with a hard on anywhere near. I've never seen one.
Because growing up, we learned how to conceal them.
Yeah, see, that's the thing is I was like, what do you do? Because, like, how does this work? How do you hide this situation you have here?
Depends on, I mean.
Well, yeah, you taught me that generally men will tuck it into their waistband.
Yep.
So now I.
That's the most comfortable position.
So that's great because I learned how to tuck my ghost dick into my fanny pack.
Into her fanny pack.
I mean,
we went on that journey to get back to this one.
So speaking of marriage, I'm glad I'm married so I don't have to have this conversation with my son as far as what to do. Because that's not my department.
Oh, man. I got two of them I got to have that conversation
tuck it
with.
In.
Yeah, no, I ain't doing it. I'm not having that conversation. Kev can take care of that. Okay, so anyways. So we're talking about why living people should be the only people to experience wedded bliss. Well, it seems that even death do we part doesn't necessarily stop some people when it comes to the bonds of holy matrimony, which I will argue whether or not it's really holy matrimony, but that's another conversation.
You know what's funny is while I was writing that, I was like, Stacy's going to – this the royal holy is going to get Stacy triggered. There's nothing holy about this.
I was reading this beforehand, and I'm like, are you fucking serious, Christopher? You put this in here just to fuck with me.
I thought it sounded nice.
It does sound nice, but it's very incorrect. Anyways,
unholy
there are two women.
There you go.
Yeah, there are two women in particular who have made headlines due to their serious relationships with spirits. The first is a woman named Amethyst Realm.
Good God.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, man. That's...
So the first
rock on?
Thing, yeah. So the
every day.
Thing,
get it?
Yeah. Every day. Yes, that was... God. That was a dad joke. The first
April
thing...
April doesn't even care.
I'm trying to find Amethyst Realm on Facebook.
Oh, okay.
Christ. Send us all a picture. Okay.
I'm going to.
The first thing that should be known is that she claims to have had relationships with up to 20 spirits, although she seems to have found the one that is the one for her. Although they originally met in Australia and started to date, which how you do that, I don't understand. They dated for 9 months. Before Amethyst Beau popped the question to her, she describes their interactions as her being able to hear the spirit in her mind. But when the spirit popped the question, it was different, and she could hear it from the, quote, outside. She also describes the entity as very ancient, very wise, and very kind. That doesn't sound like any man that I know. It has to be a woman.
Actually, she has yet to say whether it's a man or woman.
Oh, hold on a second. I got a mommy thing. Hold on. Can somebody take over for me?
Yeah, I got it. So Amethyst has stated that she prefers relationships to ghosts as evident by her having relationships with up to 20 of them, more to that of living men, stating, quote, ghost lovers tend to be more sensual and adept than the average bloke, unquote. Something interesting to note in regards to the couple's relationship. A medium actually informed Amethyst that they had been together in 3 former lives. This is some crazy shit. That is crazy shit. But I mean, if that's their thing, that's their thing. I still just have questions when it comes to how do you legally get married to something that isn't quote unquote there.
Well, you go out into international waters.
Well, we'll see. We will see that in the next story we have. Have you found Amethyst Realm?
Yes, sir. She looks extremely normal.
I mean, I could see her trying to sell, you know, hemp tampons.
Hold on, I'm going to send this to everybody.
Honestly, that sounds
great.
She does seem very, like, on the her exterior looks quite normal. I mean, I imagine seeing her at yoga classes.
Yeah, she, yep.
But I mean, if she wants to have relationships with spirits, good on her. I mean, that's her thing. Ain't hurt nobody.
Ain't hurt nobody.
And if it excites her, go for it.
Can't
do your thing.
Get syphilis from a specter.
Well, we might actually see in our next story that night might not actually be true. So, our second story, unfortunately, deals with the opposite side of marriage. And, of course, I'm talking about divorce. Ghost divorce court.
Dun, dun, dun.
So, Amanda Sparrow Teague, and yes, that is her real name. Formerly known as Amanda Sparrow Large, divorced her spirit husband of less than a year. So they've only been together a few months before all of this went down. So Miss Large is a Jack Sparrow impersonator to go so far as to have spent over £5,000 on trying to match his likeness on things like his hairstyle, like his dreads, stuff like that, his tattoos, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And if you see pictures of this lady, you will see, you know, the what she's going for, kind of thing, the likeness. So the quote unquote man she married was said to be a Haitian pirate from the 1700s, thought to be the inspiration for the character Jack Sparrow. And their relationship began in 2014 when she felt the spirit's energy get into her bed with her. And over time, the spirit would start to sit with her while she was watching TV, and then he would also ride around in the car with her while she drove around town. And over time, Amanda started to develop strong feelings for this spirit. And in 2018, Amanda and her pirate lover were married in international waters on a boat, since no country would actually allow them to get legally married. And although, like I was saying earlier, the legality of that marriage is still a little bit in question, because technically there's not a second party. but, you know, that's just splitting hairs. So the marriage was eventually called off by Amanda because she believed the spirit had started to become violent and she began to have health concerns. Just 2 weeks after the marriage, Amanda developed perianal. I think that's right. Perianal.
Yeah, that's right. Perianal.
I was trying to avoid saying anal, but I guess judging by this episode, fuck it. So she developed perianal abscess, abscesses and is that how you spell cirrhosis?
Yeah.
Yes.
Really? I thought it was way different. So the abscesses were developed every time she would have sexual contact with the spirit. And so she, of course, stopped all sexual activities. And as you can guess, this did not go well with her pirate husband, who began, quote unquote, stealing her energy. She believed that she was going to die if she did not do something, which, of course, led her to end the marriage. And once she ended the marriage and contact with the spirit, she actually started to get better. She actually developed sepsis, too, not long after they got married.
Wow.
So, wow. And now she actually warns people of getting into relationships with spirits because it can...
toxic relationship, literally.
But I mean, you're marrying a fucking pirate. If you're not giving up the booty to the pirate, then of course he's going to get pissed off.
When you cut off his ghost stick.
I find it interesting.
With a comb from your purse.
Yeah, and you tuck it into your fanny bag.
I find it interesting that this woman is a Jack Sparrow impersonator to go as far as we said. She's spent thousands upon thousands of pounds to try and look like Jack Sparrow, and the pirate that is the inspiration for Jack Sparrow just happens to be the one that comes to her and wants to have a relationship.
Some calm bullshit.
Seems a little fishy to me.
I mean, I listened to an interview with her, and she did not sound crazy.
I mean, I'm not saying she's crazy. I just find it.
Is she crazy?
Seems.
Crazy.
Too much of a coincidence.
She crazy.
Crazy.
I mean, hey, we're not here to victim blame. She's a victim of ghost abuse.
Ghost abuse.
And anal abscesses.
Domestic violence.
Perianal abscesses. What is perianal? Like hemorrhoids?
Just on the cusp of your anus.
It's an abscess, like an abscess tooth.
But it's on your butthole.
Yes.
That's got to be insanely uncomfortable. How do you sit?
You don't.
Donut.
A donut?
Donut. Okay. Well, everyone, we have... Woo! Quite the journey we have gone on tonight. We really have done the damn thing. We have talked about all sorts of things. We have bantered for fucking sure. Christopher, thank you. Wow. So tonight's episode has been fucking nuts. But if you have not had enough yet and you want some more, then be sure and check out The Pregnant Ghost and Other Sexual Hauntings, which is devoted to basically just all of this stuff. I mean, like, how many people would really think this is a thing? And yet, here it is. It actually is a pretty not that unusual thing.
I mean, what, some of the stories in there involve, like, a ghost cat that apparently is trying to fuck a dude.
What?
Skulls that...
Do we want to know?
Skulls that people put in their house, and as soon as they put these skulls in their house, they start hearing, like, fucking going on in the room that they put the skulls. Like, there's tons of weird-ass stories.
All right. Well, check that out. That sounds
there's
like
one called
major.
20 Cock Lane.
Oh,
I know that one. I know that one, actually.
Fanny of 20 Cock Lane, I think is what it's called.
Is that the one where the ghost masturbates in the girl's garden?
No, that's Patty's backyard.
Oh, okay. Anyway.
It's like all these stories happen like in England, which is really weird.
Yeah, there's a lot of English ones. All right, guys. Well.
I mean.
It's been quite the show.
Yes,
we went
has.
There. We went there. We saw. We conquered.
Yep, we conquered it. We made it awkward.
We never have to broach this subject again.
Yep. We did.
Yeah, we made it awkward.
Yeah, we did make it awkward. Just like the shirt.
Just like our shirts, which you can buy from us if you want.
We're going to have to get new shirts. Oh, it could say like at the bottom of it could have a like an image of a fanny pack, and then above that it will say insert ghost stick here.
Or like you could just see like a little tip of the head peeking out.
Oh God! Just like a little army helmet.
I can't. Oh boy.
Well, let us know if you like that design idea. Anyway, all right, guys. We will talk to you next week. Thank you so much for joining us this week. Please go on to Facebook and like us, hang out, subscribe, do all that stuff. And we will see you next week for something that is much less risque.
Yes, we promise next week won't have quite as much dick talk.
I got my fingers crossed.
Yeah, me too.
It'll be girthy for sure.
Oh my God.
Oh God.
All right. Next week. Bye.
All
guys.
Right, good night, guys.
Stay freaky and stay geeky.
See you next time.